great to see you, and thank you for the welcome, and it's lovely to be with you, I have to say, at the beginning of a new chapter. This feels like a bit of a test week, really, because the induction's not till next Saturday, so if you change your mind between today and next Saturday, well, we're in trouble. I'm sure you want me on your behalf to say thanks to Roy and to your wife, Ursula, isn't that right? Yep. Glad you're wearing name badges, it really helps me. But you guys have done a great job this week. I know you have a big team around you and you thanked your team, but I think it's important that we say thank you to you as well for all that you've done this week. Royce asked me this morning if I'd speak on the subject of lost and found. Now, my children go back to school a little bit earlier than the kids do here. And I have two girls that are 12 and 15, and they come home from school on Friday with a rather interesting little story. They were in class, the lessons were in full swing, and there was a little timid knock on the door. And the door opened, and a little first year was standing there. You know, the new little white shirt, and, you know, she was really kind of trembling standing there. And she just stood there in the doorway and said to the teacher, "I'm lost." Couldn't find her way to the classroom, first day at school, one of the girls took her, the door closed, and the whole class went together. Oh, isn't that sweet? I don't know if you've ever had the experience of being lost. I can remember when I was 6 years of age, being separated from my mum and dad, coming out of a tube station in London, and it still remains with me, that horrible sense of being separated from someone that you love and someone that you care for, and that rising sense of panic. And I want to capture this morning that sense of being lost and separated from someone who loves us. And if you have a Bible with you, or you've one in the pew in front of you, I want to encourage you to turn back to Luke chapter 15, to the passage which Pat read for us a few moments ago. And if you've not got a Bible, or you just want to follow what I'm saying this morning, it'll be quite easy to follow because we've got a few pictures and a few words on the screen behind me. But this is a really interesting chapter. And it begins with Jesus talking to two very distinctly different groups of people. He's talking to a group who are the religious leaders on one hand, and they're kind of muttering. They don't like what Jesus is up to, because Jesus is spending a lot of his time with people who know that they haven't got it all together. They're described in verse 1 as the tax collectors and the sinners. They're a group of people who know that life is messy. They're a group of people who feel strangely attracted to the ministry of Jesus because they see something in Jesus that they've never been taught or experienced before. And Jesus is speaking to these two very distinctly different groups of people. And with each of the three stories which Jesus tells, we are taught something incredibly important about the Christian faith. And I want you to notice what they are as we go through them. The first thing that we're going to learn this morning is this, that without God, we are lost. Without a relationship with God, we are lost spiritually. I want you just to take a moment to follow the theme. I'm sure you heard the story being read, but in verse 4, a sheep gets separated from the rest of the sheep. And in verse 8, it's a precious coin that gets separated from the rest of the coins. And in verses 11 to 13, it's the son who makes a deliberate decision to separate himself from his father, who loves him dearly. Now, particularly if you're a man this morning, and you're a little bit like me, and you're honest with yourself, you will know that you hate admitting that you've got lost. Does that sort of strike a chord this morning? Because if it does, perhaps this little picture of this Volkswagen that's landed on the moon, and the wife is saying to the husband, "Exactly what does it take to get you to pull over and ask for directions?" Ever had that experience? I have to confess this morning, I'm one of the men who hates asking for directions. But that's not the kind of lostness that Jesus is talking about in these verses. It's not the kind of lostness that happened when I was separated from my parents that day. It's not the kind of lostness that happened when that little first year knocks on the door and says, "I'm lost." Jesus is speaking to us this morning about something which is much, much deeper than that. He's talking to us this morning really about losing our way in life. He's talking about what so many people feel today but sometimes can't put into words, a loss of identity, a loss of self-worth, a loss of purpose, losing our way in life, being part of a society that seems to have lost its way completely. That's the kind of lostness that Jesus is speaking about in these particular three stories. A lostness which provokes the big questions of life. Who am I? Why am I here? What happens to me when I die? Jesus talked a lot about the sense of losing our way. In fact, it's a recurrent theme throughout the entire Bible. There was a prophet by the name of Isaiah writing 600 years before Jesus was born, and he summed up this sense of lostness. He says, this is why we feel so lost in life. This is sometimes why we feel so disconnected from God. He says, because we're like sheep. We wandered off, we've gotten lost, we've done our own thing, we've gone our own way, and then sometimes we wonder why we have this sense of feeling lost. You see, Jesus is not talking about the sense of getting lost when we go from A to B. Or perhaps the experience I probably have with many of you, if I try to visit your house for the first time and I arrive about half an hour late because I can't find my way and I'm just too proud to stop and to ask. But that's not the kind of lostness that Jesus is speaking about. I want you to notice that in these three stories, Jesus is talking about a loss of connection between the rest of the sheep and the shepherd. The sheep that goes missing and the shepherd, the coin and the woman who loses it, the son and the father. That's the kind of separation which Jesus is speaking about in these verses. Which brings us really to the very heart of what Jesus wants to teach us about God from these stories. That without a relationship with God, you and I are lost spiritually. You can spend all of your life searching for other things. But the Bible makes it very clear that if you are separated from God, if you do not have a relationship with God that comes through the saving work of Jesus Christ, then you are spiritually lost. You're like a lost sheep. You're like a lost coin. You're like a son that has walked out on his father. We have gone our own way. Maybe that's something you can identify with this morning. Maybe as you kind of hear the stories which Jesus is telling and you pick up on that sense of being disconnected from God this morning, you say, that's me. I can identify with that. Or perhaps you're a follower of Christ this morning already and you say, yeah, that's my journey. I can identify exactly with what Jesus is saying in these stories. If that's the case, listen very carefully to what Jesus says next. Roy's already picked this up wonderfully this morning. I thought you'd been reading my notes, Roy. Some of the things that you said in the service this morning. But I want you to notice, secondly, in these stories, here's another great truth about the Christian faith. That lost people really matter to God. I wonder if that's something that you need to hear this morning. Lost people really matter to God. This is an amazing truth that takes us right to the very heart of the Christian faith. That you are deeply, deeply loved by God. That there is nothing that you can do to make God love you any more. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you any less. That is one of the great truths of the Christian faith. Because we know what we're like. We know that inside of our lives we're a mixture of the good and the bad and the ugly, aren't we? We know that each of us has a dark side. We know that each of us has this tendency to do what is wrong rather than what is right. We know that it's sometimes easier to believe that only the significant people really matter to God. And so I want you to hear this truth loudly and clearly. I'm not saying it just because it's my first Sunday, but I will be saying it regularly over and over and over again. You really matter to God. That's probably how some of the people who were listening to Jesus felt that day. Two different groups of people. A group of people described as the sinners and the tax collectors, they were told by the religious leaders of their day that they were not good enough for God. The religious leaders performed a particular way of living which made them think that they were great, that they were perfect, that they had it all right, that they had the route to God all sorted out. And Jesus tells these three dramatic stories to these two different groups of people. And here's how Jesus explains that amazing truth. You see, in each of these three stories, something of great value has gone missing. A sheep meant a great deal to a shepherd. If you lost a sheep and you were a shepherd, it would mean an awful lot in terms of your livelihood, and the shepherd would do all that he could to try and find this sheep. A sheep was of great value in Jesus' day. The coin in the story that we're reading about was probably the equivalent of a day's wage for this woman, or perhaps part of her inheritance. It was something of great value. A son walks out on his father. How do you place value on the price of a child? I wonder, have you ever lost something or someone of real value? These two stories are going to make me sound like a terrible parent. But I guess you might as well do your confessions on your first Sunday. But when we lived in Cheam, which isn't too far from here, a few years ago, we lost one of our children in a Nonsuch park. Couldn't find her anywhere. And thankfully, with the hope of people who happened to be in the park at the time, we had a little search party and we sent them out. But I can remember that anguish, feeling that sense of, where is she? Will we find her? What's happened to her? Now, thankfully, we found her. But I can still remember that sense of joy at finding a child that has gone missing. I might as well tell you all the stories, because there was another occasion, because you'll find out sooner or later. But I was babysitting one day, and I was asked to look after one of our younger children who was age 3, and I was out in the garden talking to a friend, and about an hour later there was a knock at the front door. It was the guy who owned the garage beside us, and he knocked on the door and he says, "Have you lost anything?" I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And out from behind his back came one of our children. He said, "I found her walking down the road. She must have opened the door by herself, but I guess you probably want her back." But I know something of that sense of loss that comes from losing something, someone that you love. Some of you will know that in terms of a marriage partner that's no longer with you today. You know something about that sense of loss, about being separated from someone who loves you. Sadly, there have been too many occasions in this country and other countries where children go missing. I mean, we know the story, don't we, so well, of this little girl behind us, of Madeleine McCann. You remember the anguish. You remember the appeals. You remember the tear-stained faces. I believe that kind of anguish takes us a little closer to the heart of God for people who have gone missing. When people walk out on God, when people decide to take the good gifts which God gives to them and then live their lives as if God doesn't matter, the anguish that God feels for people who are separated from Him comes a little close to this story here. You and I really matter to God. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you think, well, how can you be so sure? Let me take you back to the story. I want you to notice that when this person goes missing, there's no half-hearted search. The shepherd who loses his sheep goes all out to find the missing sheep, leaves the other 99 behind, and he heads off and he looks in the ravines and the valleys and behind the rocks, and he doesn't stop searching until he finds. The woman with the lost coin, same story. In the second story, verse 8, she gets down on the floor, she begins to sweep and she begins to search, and inch by inch she covers the floor till eventually she finds the coin, and she doesn't stop searching until she finds it. The third story, the missing son. Can you imagine this morning the anguish of the father as something of someone of irreplaceable value has gone missing, searching, looking over the horizon day after day after day, waiting for his son to return? And what Jesus wants to teach us is this, that like the shepherd, and like the woman, and like the father in this story, God has lost something really precious. That you and I are of priceless value in terms of God. Just look at this quotation for a moment from Bill Hybels, an American pastor. I wonder, is this your experience this morning? You have never, he says, writing in this story, you have never looked into the eyes of another human being who does not matter to God. No, not even when you are looking in the mirror. He says, when that truth grips you at the very core of your being, you will never be the same again. And in these three little stories, Jesus is teaching us some very profound things about the Christian faith that lie at the very heart of what we believe as Christians. Firstly, that without a relationship with God, when we become disconnected from God, we are lost. We will have that sense of losing our way in life, losing our sense of purpose, losing our identity, losing our value. Secondly, what lost people really matter to God. And finally, in these three stories, that when lost people are found, it's time for a celebration. I know, and the holiday at home week, that's been the theme of your week, hasn't it? Celebrations. I know that you've had a great time. I talked to lots of you yesterday when I was down having lunch with you. But you know what? The celebrations that you've had this week and the celebrations of the parties that were, or the birthdays that were referred to today, are they are nothing in comparison to the celebration that takes place in heaven when someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ. And you can see the celebration, can't you, in these three stories, because Jesus draws it out at the end of each of them. That when a lost sheep is found, what does the shepherd say? He gets his friends around him. He says, it's time for a party. It's time to rejoice. I want you to celebrate with me because this lost sheep has been found. And when the coin is found, you say, what's the big deal about a coin? Well, it could have been a huge chunk of this woman's inheritance. But what does she do when she finds the missing coin? She gets her friends around. She says, let's have a party. Let's celebrate. And the son comes home, comes to his senses, turns for home. The father spots him on the horizon and starts running towards him with open arms and says, let's have a feast. It's time to celebrate. These life-changing truths come from the lips of Jesus himself. I don't know about you, but I'd love to have been in the crowd that day. I'd love to have seen the faces of the people who thought they had God all worked out. I'd love to have seen the faces of the people who were told that they would never be good enough for God. I'd love to see the faces of the people who'd failed. I'd love to see the faces of the people who'd messed up. I'd love to see the faces of the people who knew they hadn't got it all together. I'd love to see the truth filtering into people's lives, that they are of immense value to God, that lost people really matter. So let me ask you as we conclude this morning, where do you kind of sit in relation to these three stories? It's always good to ask ourselves that when we come to look at the Bible. Maybe some of you are here this morning and it's the very first time you have been told how much you matter to God. You may well have grown up being told by your parents that you're not worth anything. You may well have had bad experiences in life where people tell you you're worthless and you're of no value. You may actually be in an unhappy marriage where there's no value given to you. I want you to hear loudly and clearly this morning that you really matter to God. Or maybe you can identify this morning with that sense of being disconnected with God that we talked about earlier. And you're saying, that's me. I've kind of lost my way in life. I have walked out on God. I am responsible for, I've taken all the good things which God has given to me, but you know what? I've not really lived my life in a way which has really honored the God who's given me those gifts. If that describes you in any way this morning, I want to urge you to stop hiding. I want to urge you to allow God to find you. I want to encourage you to hold up your hands and to acknowledge that you've been going in the wrong direction. To come to our senses, as the son does in this story. Because I want you to notice what happens when this son decides to head for home. Because you may be sitting here this morning, you may be thinking to yourself, what do I need to do to get right with God? Just listen to what happens in the story of the lost son. But while this is at the end of verse 20, but while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. I want to say to you this morning, that is the way God will respond when you turn back to him. You say, what about the mess I've made in my life? What about the failures? What about the mistakes? How does that get dealt with? Well, let me take you back to Isaiah, which we looked at a couple of moments ago, and he said, we're like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost, and we've gone our own way, and we've done our own thing. Here's how God can welcome you back. Because this verse goes on to say, God has piled all of our sins and everything that we have done wrong on Jesus. That's how God deals with our mistakes. That's how God deals with our failures. That's how God deals with our sin. And when we acknowledge that and we decide to return to the Father, He will welcome us with open arms. Let me just read to you what happens in this story again, because that's what enables God to do this. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. He was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. Wouldn't you love to be welcomed home by God like that this morning? Or perhaps if you're a follower of Jesus and you say, you know, today I really want to renew my relationship with God this morning. I realize I've been drifting and I want to return to the Father. That's how he'll welcome you. Because lost people really matter to God. You say, well, how do we do that? Well, here are some words that might just help us. Sometimes people say to me, I'm not really sure what I need to say to God. Well, here's a way in which we could speak to God this morning that you might find appropriate. These three amazing stories help us to see that we are deeply loved by God. This prayer begins with the important words of thank you. It recognizes that the sins which we have committed have been piled on Jesus. So it begins with a recognition that that is how we are made right with God. We need to include the word sorry, because if we've been living to please ourselves and we've been going our own way, then we need to acknowledge that. So this prayer includes the word sorry for the things that I have done wrong, and with a willingness to accept Jesus' forgiveness and to return to the Father. And God doesn't leave us to kind of live this life on our own. His Spirit comes and dwells with us, because the Spirit helps us to become more like the people we want to be. And if that prayer sums up for you how you would like to respond this morning as we think about this theme of lost and found, then I want to encourage you, after just a moment or two of being quiet, to consider what we've looked at this morning, and then I'll lead you in this final prayer, and then Roy, I'm going to ask you to come and then close the service for us. But let's be quiet for a moment. Let's just be quiet. Let's reflect on what we've learned this morning. And if this prayer echoes how you would like to speak to God this morning, then why not make it your prayer in a moment. We've learned this morning that without a relationship with God, we are lost. We have learned that lost people really, really matter to God. We have learned that when lost people are found, a celebration takes place in heaven. Let's just consider where we are in our relationship with God this morning before we pray. If this prayer helps you to return to God or to renew your relationship with God this morning, then just pray it quietly as I pray it out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying for me on the cross. I'm sorry for the things in my life that have been wrong. With your help, I want to turn away from everything that I know is wrong. And I now receive your gift of forgiveness as you welcome me home. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit to give me the strength to lead the kind of life that deep down I am longing to lead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer today, or you've got questions from some of the things that we've talked about and thought about, then please do talk to any of the helpers and leaders that have been part of this week. I'm around over coffee, over lunch. I'd love to chat to you more. And if you've prayed that prayer this morning, then you have embarked on one of the most exciting journeys of your life. And we'd love to help you as you seek to do that. Roy, thanks.